Adventures in Research. This is Paul Shannon introducing another transcribed Adventures in Research as told by Dr. Phillips Thomas, research engineer of the Westinghouse Research Laboratory. Of all the surgery man has made on the face of Mother Earth, none has improved her appearance as much as a road. Yes, the man-made path is the runway to the world. Whether it's an express highway dotted with cars and punctuated with billboards, or the dusty little footpath where cows tread a bovine measure, it's a road. A road that might lead to fame, fortune, contentment. It would be hard to say who invented the first road or when. But the science of engineering has labored long to devise the best road possible. Yet as late as the latter part of the 18th century, roads of England not only provoked the citizens' disgust, but the royal wrath as well.
Get up there! Get up! Pull, you lazy beast! Pull! Well, we've done it again, Albert. Bogged the king's own coach wheel deep in mud.
It won't be the first time. Who can manage a carriage in this muck and mire? Wait a sec. There's a log over there. Maybe we can rest it out.
His Majesty will be furious at the delay.
It won't be the first time for that either. Let's see what the logs were.
Albert! Albert!
Come in, Your Highness.
This intolerable delay occurs every time I go to Kensington. Can't you get the coach out of the mud? This is frightful. Well?
The wet weather, Your Majesty.
Wet weather, bosh! The lack of brains in your fat, stupid heads. Any coachman with half an eye could have driven around this hole. But the King of England must be cursed with the poorest of coachmen.
We'll have the carriage out in just a minute, time, Your Majesty. Just as soon as we get...
Well, hurry! Hurry, you fatheads! I haven't got all...
And the royal temper fumed in the lopsided carriage. The royal wrath descended on roads and coachmen and mud holes and rain.
These roads are an abomination on the face of the earth. An hour late already. And what can I say? That the king has been stuck in a pestiferous mud hole on the king's own highway? Thunderation! Mud holes, filth, open drains down the center, and the vile smell of these ditches. Parliament shall act, by heaven. I shall not be delayed every time I journey to Kensington.
And Parliament took the matter in hand and hired a man to repair the roads. It would help our story if the man were an illiterate nobody who had never seen a road. But history seldom bestows a surprise ending. For the hand that guides the destinies of men has decided that nothing succeeds like success. So Parliament hired one Thomas Telford, British genius. In 34 years in London, he had made himself famous. He constructed a dockyard at Portsmouth, a Somerset House in London, was known as the canal expert of all England. But he had never built a road.
Repairing the road to Glasgow, is he?
But not that it isn't time, you can. It's been a loss since the coach and horses tumbled through the bridge 10 years ago.
Well, Telford'll do it.
Maybe you're right and maybe you're not. But if I can, he has a job on his hands. He'll have to repeal the weather to do it. Mud in winter and dust in summer, floods in spring and floods in the fall.
Telford'll do it, mark my word.
It will take a canny man to stop the storms and the dust and the floods. A very canny man.
And the road to Glasgow, long accustomed to its storms, its dust, its pockmarks, had further ardors to contend with. A swarm of men digging at it, laughing at it, picking at it. And Parliament fidgeted in London, not unlike a mother whose favorite son has left home to make good. It wasn't long before the curious member sent a representative to the Glasgow Road to examine what strange tricks Thomas Telford could conceive.
Ah, yes, Lord Ellis. I understood you were coming.
I don't want to interfere with your work, Telford, but we've been curious as to just how, well, just how...
I understand. Just how? Well, as you can see, we're laying the foundation. That crew up ahead there is just completing the bottom layer, which you happen to be standing on right here.
Bottom layer?
Yes, that's right. This bottom layer of stone is 7 inches deep. Over that goes an inch of gravel to complete the road.
7 inches? Isn't that a bit deep, Telford? I mean, after all, you know, the money. It's the money, you know. I don't think Parliament can promise you...
It's quite necessary, I assure you, Lord Ennis. The Romans were the greatest road builders of them all, and one of their secrets was a sturdy foundation. Why, their roads, the roads they built here in England, were bottomed with stone, cemented with lime, and paved solidly with flat stone.
Well, I understand, of course. But 7 inches is... Well, that much stone is...
Well, examine this foundation yourself, Lord Ellis. The men made it of good-sized stones, all set by hand, with the broader side facing downward. No stone is larger than 3 inches across the top. The spaces between were filled with smaller stones, packed by hand, to make a level surface. Now, all the...
Mr. Oh, excuse me, sir, but there's a slope ahead, and I don't know if my crew can follow your plan.
Mr. Briggs, there is to be no slope rising at a steeper angle than 1 foot in 30.
Well, that's going to mean a lot more work, you understand.
Naturally, so let's have at it. Owen Briggs, on your way back, send up that crew who've completed the bottom layer of foundation. They'll need further orders.
I'll do that.
You seem to have planned the work well, Telford. But how about, the floods, you know. Yes, it's just a flood.
I'm installing a drain which runs beneath the road to outside ditches at every 100 yards. But if you'll excuse me, Lord Ellis, here comes the crew. I want to give them some instructions for laying the top strata of foundation.
Say, we finished that layer as far as the bend ahead, Mr. Telford. That's smooth as a mother's kiss. And packed, too. Oh, blimey, what a job.
Nah. Well, we're ready for the next step now.
The crew will be glad to get a shovel in their hands after crawling on their knees, placing them stones.
Oh, we're not ready for the gravel yet. We've another layer of stones to put down first. Those in the wagons over there.
Oh, well, they're small. They'll fit a shovel nice enough.
And here, give one of these rings to each man on the crew. Oh, Briggs, bring those rings, please.
Rings, is it? Jewelry for the workers, eh?
Yes, give one of them to each man on the crew. These little rings are to help you choose stones for the next layer. The ring is 2.5 inches in diameter. Now, use only those stones which will pass through the ring.
You mean to say we can't use larger stones than what'll go through this ring?
Exactly.
Yeah, it seems like a blooming lot of work for a road. Nothing like this was ever done in English soil before.
The Romans built wonderful roads here in England 1,000 years ago.
Well, I'll be floundering.
Oh, and Hubbard, I want you to measure the thickness of the top layer carefully. The middle of the road must be exactly 4 inches above the sides.
Well, I'll get the men busy with the shovels, Mr. Telford. This won't be easy measuring each blasted stone, but at least we won't be fitting in these little stones with our fingers.
I'm afraid you don't understand, Hubbard. Forget your shovels. The second layer of stones will also be laid by hand.
Oh, righto, sir. But if looks would kill, we'd be building this road without you, and with a shovel.
Under the smooth direction of the master planner, the road grew wider, stronger, and more glistening in the summer sun. The work progressed on what the workers felt was the oddest road ever constructed.
We're nigh out of gravel, Mr. Telford, so I'll tell the men to spread it a little thinner.
It must be 1 inch thick over the foundation. This is the final covering of the road, and it must be exactly right. We'll have to stop work if we don't have sufficient gravel. But we certainly won't stint 1 teaspoon of it.
Genius, it has been said, is merely an infinite capacity for taking pains. Nothing ever seemed to be too much work or too much trouble for Telford, the road builder. When a minor error in calculation put a hill in the path of the road, Telford remarked calmly,
"It won't be necessary to cut around it. We'll save the additional mile of distance. We'll blast the hill away."
And after 2 years of unceasing work, Telford was finally forced to pause. The gravel for the final layer was not of the right consistency, so he sent it back, and while waiting for a new load to arrive, decided to take a brief vacation.
Well, here we are in Charing Cross, Tom. I suppose the innkeeper will have your usual room ready for you.
Well, I hope so. Took the precaution of writing him beforehand. I hear the hotel's changed hands last week, and the new owner wouldn't know I was an old customer.
He seems to have fixed the place up a bit. I wonder where he's...
The famous Mr. Telford. I'm Mr. Judson, the new owner of the Ship Hotel. Allow me to assure you that your rooms are ready and your slightest wish, sir, your slightest
wish... Yes, well, thank you very much, Mr. Judson. Most considerate. But I may not be here very long.
Mr. Telford plans to build himself a house in London as soon as the road is...
Leave? Leave? Oh, you must be joking, of course. You are joking, aren't you?
No. I hope you have the road
to... But, my dear sir, I just paid £750 for you.
You what?
Why, you're looked on as a fixture at this hotel. You're such an important and valuable tenant that each incoming landlord pays an extra sum, a count of you, you see.
You're more famous than you realize, Tom.
Yeah, but sir, if you're leaving, kindly do me the favor of not mentioning it around a few days. I think I know of someone who might be interested in buying, you know. And here's your mail, Mr. Telford. I quite forgot it with all the to-do.
Thank you very much, Mr. Judson.
Lots of them with foreign markings, I noticed. Begging your pardon, sir.
Well, we'll just sit here and glance through them, eh, Briggs?
Oh, here's one from the Public Works Committee in Wales. Oh. I want you to repair and rebuild all their roads to the mountains.
This is from Warsaw. Well, delegation wants me to draw up plans for a road from Warsaw to Greece.
Oh, here's one from Lord Ainsworth, quite an admirer of yours. Refers to you as the colossus of roads.
Well, his lordship has an affinity for bad puns. Yes, here it is, the letter I've been hoping for.
More important than these?
Oh, yes, indeed. The shipment of gravel will arrive within a fortnight, and now we can complete the road.
And the day of the completion of the Glasgow Road was a happy one for Thomas Telford. He rode in the royal carriage across the broad, smooth back of the renovated road. No mud holes to trap unwary wheels. No reason to be joggled and jostled. Not even the malodorous scent of the ditches.
It's a splendid road, Mr. Telford. Parliament is, well pleased. Yes. We would like to commission you to build some bridges. And, of course, more roads, of course. Yes, it has been rumored, you know, that certain foreign governments are trying to entice you away, Mr. Telford. And we hope, that is, Parliament hope, you know, sir, you will favor England with your service. Well, Mr. Telford, what do you say?
Oh, forgive me, Lord Ellis, I wasn't listening. Just sitting here, smiling to myself.
Smiling, Mr. Telford?
Yes. I like to think I'm the first person that ever drove across this road with a smile on his face.
For horse-drawn vehicles, Telford's precision-built, hand-bedded roads have never been improved upon. They stretch their broad white ribbons to the end of the British Isles, unwinding their smooth, facile way across England, Scotland, and Wales to form a wide, smooth link in commerce and communications. And when today a barefoot country lad looks down the winding trail that leads to teeming cities and glorious worlds to conquer, he owes his dream to Thomas Telford's Adventure in Research. And that's today's story by Dr. Phillips Thomas, research engineer of the Westinghouse Research Laboratory. Be sure to listen next week for another transcribed story by Dr. Thomas on Adventures in Research.